direction. You can listen to the club. You're gonna try to take it off. You're gonna try to take it off. You're gonna try to take it off. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. See the boys in the club. They watching us.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. This is Steve Lewis, and you're zoned in for fitness and nutrition today. This week I want to talk more about finish up talking about the macronutrients. You know, the basic big three that I talked about a few weeks ago. We talked about carbohydrates last week. This week I want to finish up with fats and proteins. And with that, I want to go into, you know, why there's so many different ideas as far as the diets out there and so forth, and, you know, that you're going to run across. There's a lot of stuff in the news, but what I want to do is give you enough information that you can, you know, decide for yourself, is this worth it for you, or, you know, or what can you do, you know, to manage your weight or your exercise program or your nutrition program. So, but last week I talked about carbohydrates, and, you know, basically I said, you know, the biggest thing there is that when you eat, you know, your body breaks down the carbohydrates and creates blood sugar, puts the blood sugar out into the bloodstream, and then a hormone, insulin, comes along and pushes that into your cells. Well, it's much the same with fats and proteins, except for with fats and proteins, there's no stimulation for insulin. Okay, but now dietary fats and proteins are becoming, you know, the basis for a lot of new diets out there now. I mean, really, either, you know, they've got the low carbohydrate diets, which basically substitute fat in place of carbohydrates. Okay. So if you go back to, you know, what I said before, you know, there's a basic mix on how much, you know, each macronutrient your body needs, you know, to be a balanced meal. And it's typically, you know, 50% carbohydrates, 30% protein, and then 20% fat. Well, on the low carbohydrate diets, what they're basically asking you to do is to take the 50% that you would normally geared toward carbohydrates and substitute. I mean, you know, don't go the whole 50, you know, for carbohydrates. You can break it down. So some of the meals are like, you know, like 20% carbohydrates. So in that case, then you're eating much more fat. So one of the diets in particular, and I don't know the exact breakdown is because I'm not promoting that diet, but Atkins, you know, they promote that you can eat a lot of fat with that. So, and instead of having 30% proteins, they're basically looking at you going and doing maybe, say, 40 or 50% protein, and then 30% probably with the fat, and then 20%, you know, carbohydrates, or even less than that. So it could be 40%. Proteins and then 40% fat, and then, you know, another 10 or 20% for the for carbohydrates. Anyway, those are low carbohydrate diets, and then there are protein diets, you know, that are, you know, out there that basically do the same thing. They have, you know, your 50-60% protein, and then the rest of the macronutrients, you know, make up the balance of your meals. So, if you don't understand what's going on with fats and proteins and why all this is, you know, coming about, what these different theories, you're gonna be confused as to which one you should take. Should it be low carbohydrates, high carbohydrates, low protein, high protein, or low fat, high fat, whatever, you know. Really, I'll be honest. You know, I'm still pushing the carbohydrates because I don't really see where. I mean, if you got rid of the carbohydrates, I mean, just think about it. If you got rid of the carbohydrates, what does that mean? That means you know, you're going to give up cake, pastries, anything that has any sugar in it at all. You've got to stay away from that. I mean, you're never going to be able to eat anything that's, or enjoy anything that you were doing before. And like I stated last week and the week before, you know, the whole thing about dieting is you never want to exclude anything out of the diet, especially if it's something that you've already gotten used to. But what has to change here is your approach, is that now you have to look at it, instead of, you know, living to go eat, go out to eat somewhere, you now have to look at, you now want to eat to live. That's basically the theme here. And what that means is you have to look and say, okay, now what am I getting ready to do within the next 3 or 4 hours? Okay, and then how much food do I need to provide energy for that activity, whatever it is? If it's, you know, driving to the store, driving to work, walking, you know, from your house to your neighbor's house, or just sitting, thinking, and watching television, okay? All those require calories, okay? Or I should say calorie expenditures. We talked about that last week, too. But in any event, that's the approach that you have to take. So I want to talk a little bit also about how fats and proteins, what they do in terms of if you're going to exercise. And I'm really advocating, you know, this everybody should exercise. I mean, you should do it, you know, based on your circumstance, but everybody's got to find an exercise program that works out for them, you know. The one I've been pushing lately is, you know, actually resistance training, and I'm going to, in the weeks to come, you're going to hear more why I'm doing that. But in my mind, I'm thinking if that's the one that is going to help you build rather than allowing your body just to, you know, go down or age or, you know, just decompose, you know, as you're going along, then that's the one that you want. I mean, I want the one that's going to, like, regenerate all the tissue and everything else. So resistance training is the one that does that. And lastly, if we get a chance, I want to talk about a couple of supplements. And actually, they're fat derivatives. Fish oil, which is it has omega-3s. And the COA, short for conjugated linoleic acid. That was in the news a couple of years ago. But again, with all these different diets coming out, you're going to get different things. And so, but I'm going to tell you, this is still something that, you know, worthwhile taking. And then, of course, I'm going to talk about protein, and in particular, whey protein. So that's kind of what I get cooking today that I want to put out there. First up, let's go through fats, okay? And there are basically two types of fats. You got the saturated fat and the unsaturated fat, okay? The saturated fats, it's easy to figure out, you know, where those are. Those come from animal products like meat, you know, like beef and pork and chicken, anything that, you know, any animal, you know, that carries fat, and also dairy sources, you know, like your cheeses, milk, so forth, okay? Those are your saturated fats. Unsaturated fats come from fish and plant sources, okay? And the difference here between the saturated and unsaturated is just how it sounds, you know. One's much more dense than the other. And so, and the thing about fat is, now you still need it, but the thing about fat is that, you know, there are all types of issues out there when you eat more than you're supposed to, which is why, again, you go back to the model that I'm saying, you know, you want 50% carbohydrates, 30% protein, and then 20% for fat. If you look at the pyramid, put out by the FDA. I've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks here. They've got fats right up at the top of the pyramid, just a little section in there. I mean, so when you look at it, they're probably looking at, you know, maybe only, you know, fats should only account for 5 to maybe 15% of your diet, as opposed to, you know, the number I just quoted, you know, which I'm saying 20% of your diet. And the fats in this case are going to be, you know, oils and it says sweets, but actually it means hydrogenated fats become saturated fats. That's basically what happens. And the reason why, in this hydrogenated process, okay, is something that is a process that that the fats go through in order to maintain their shelf life. So you'll get a regular saturated fat, okay, but they'll basically remove some of the water out of it so that it, you know, becomes hard and it's so that it'll stay on the shelf a lot longer. And that's basically the difference there. So when you see when it says sweets on the pyramid, they're talking about, you know, your baked goods, cookies, cakes, pies, and so on and so forth. And they were saying that, you know, you only want to use this sparingly, which is still true. You know, you only want to use it. You only want to have dessert, you know, like maybe a couple times a week or something. You know, but you can still have your cakes and pies and cookies. It's just that, you know, you just have to go very light on it because of, you know, the health concern here. And which is, you know, what I've been talking about all along is the fact that, you know, don't get rid of anything out of your diet. I think that's crazy, you know, to say that even when you're dieting, you know, if you're trying to dial down and lose some weight, you know, you can still have your cake. So, just a different approach, like I said. Look at what you're getting ready to do, and then that will tell you how much you need to eat. Now, dietary fats, you know, one thing about them, they provide essential fatty acids. That's like your omega-3s, okay? And they also transport vitamins throughout your body. There are certain vitamins that can only be metabolized through fat, like vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, and vitamin K. All those are fat-soluble vitamins. So it means that they're not going to be processed unless you have fat with them. So these are best taken at mealtime, so you got a little fat. Now, it doesn't require a lot of fat. It just requires that there's fat there, that there's fat present in your system when these vitamins are going to be transported or basically, you know, processed through your system. Also, fats are used in the production of your hormones, in particular, testosterone and estrogen. Now, again, I don't want to go into any technical detail as to how the endocrine system breaks out, but the bottom line is that in order to manufacture your hormones, testosterone and estrogen, which everybody, men and women, okay, have both testosterone and estrogen, men have more testosterone and women have more estrogen, okay, in order to produce those hormones, you have to have fat. Okay. And lastly, but what I think is the most important, the other thing about fat is that it's a secondary source used for energy during exercising. Okay. Or I should say, for many of the activities that you're going to do. So here's what I'm trying to say. Okay. When we go back to last week when I said that, you know, your body needs the sugar to be placed out into the bloodstream so that insulin can come along and cell so that you can do and function while you're doing these activities, okay? Now, if your body does not have the sugar available to it, it'll go and use fat, okay? So if you're worried about being overweight, okay, and want to figure out what to do, do not fear eating fat. You got to realize it, because your body will, well, once you start eating fat, it will encourage your body to go get additional fat to, that you've already had stored on your body, and use that to burn during the process what you're eating. I know that sounds crazy, but it's like I said a couple of weeks ago. In order to lose weight, you have to eat, okay? And now I'm introducing this new theme, not terribly new, but it's been around for a year or so. But, you know, you're going to eat to live, not live to eat. So you're going to eat what you need to eat in order to do the work you need to do. And then, and that work is anything. It could be sleeping. It could be watching TV. Any activity that you're going to do. So, but don't be afraid of fat. Let me put it to you this way. Even saturated fats, the ones that you're going to find in cookies and pastries and pies, okay, it's not going to be a problem unless you overindulge. Now, last week, I talked about, you know, how much can you actually, I'm sorry, a couple weeks ago I talked about it. How many calories do you actually need? Okay, so I said take your weight and multiply it by 11. And that's how many calories you're going to need to burn. So if you weigh 100 pounds and you multiply it by 11, that's 1,100 calories. Okay, now, then 50% of that to go toward carbohydrates, and that's your that's your bread, cereal, rice, pasta, okay, crackers, spaghetti, all that, okay. All those foods are primarily carbohydrates, along with vegetables, you know, broccoli, carrots, tomatoes, you know, celery, so on and so forth, all your vegetables. And your fruits, bananas, grapes, orange, whatever you like. Typically, though, like I was saying last week, is that you want to start thinking about those carbohydrates that don't create or don't cause your body to secrete a lot of insulin. You just want just enough insulin to go out there and push the sugar that's out there into the blood cells. But, you know, that requires that you only eat so much carbohydrates. So because the more carbohydrates you eat, okay, the more insulin is going to be secreted. Now, once there's too much insulin out there, then your body, again, it shuts down and says, oh, there's too much out here. I don't know what's going on, so I'm just going to shut this off. And consequently, when it closes it off to the cells, it takes whatever it can't put in the cells, and then it moves it over to the storage area, which is basically your fat cells. So, and again, I'm sorry, let me make sure there are two cells, one's your muscle cell, one's your fat cell. So if there's too much insulin out there, your body will shut off the receptors for putting food or nutrients inside the muscle cells, and it will take everything and throw it over into the fat cells. So you want something along that's low glycemic. Now, getting the fats and proteins, okay? There's no sugar in fats and proteins, okay? So you're not going to have an insulin surge or insulin like we put out there at all. It's just going to, you know, it's just going going to be, you're going to eat. It processes the food through digestion, throws it out into the bloodstream, and then because there's no sugar out there with it, okay, it just slowly moves down there. That's really what you want. Now, with fats and proteins, let's talk about protein here a little bit. Proteins account for 50% of your dry body weight. Okay, that means all your tissue, your hair, your nails, organs, so on and so forth. Anything flesh related, is basically going to be protein related. Okay. Now, protein, in order for it to get into your cells, it's got to be pushed in there because it goes slow. So, again, if you're eating protein, you do want some carbohydrates to go with it, okay? So that the insulin, so that when the carbohydrates are turned into glucose or blood sugar, insulin will come along and push the protein into the cells along with the carbohydrates or the blood sugar. Now, same thing for fats, okay? So, again, I'm trying to say that if you don't have the carbohydrates, okay, a lot of the stuff's not going to make its way into your cells that quickly. Unless you do have some carbohydrates out there. That's what I'm saying. So if you got to have some carbohydrates out into your bloodstream, okay, in order for all the nutrients to be pushed into the cells. If not, they slowly go out there, and again, if you don't have any of the nutrients in your cells, into your muscle cells, you're going to be tired, sluggish. So again, look at those diets out there that they're saying, low carbohydrates diets or all protein diets. Think about what's going to happen. I mean, sure, you may lose some weight, but you're going to be very, very tired, and you're not going to want to do anything. You're not going to have any energy. Okay? Let me say a couple more things about protein here. All the proteins in your body, or I should say, your body replaces all the protein that is used, like all the tissue cells with your hair, your nails, so on and so forth. It replaces everything every 6 months. Okay? So, and the way it does that is that, through your diet. When you eat, it takes that and starts regenerating, different cells. Now, as you age, that becomes the rate and the amount that is being replaced gets slower and slower. So, again, that's why when I look at that situation, I'm thinking, okay, now if that's the case, then what can I do to help get it back to the rate that it was, say 10 or 15 years ago. And well, the only thing you can do that is with weight resistance training, is because weight resistance training breaks down the tissue and then requires, and then looks for protein from your dietary sources, or it's got, to go back and rebuild everything. And it builds it at a rate faster than it would be if you weren't doing resistance training, which is why I'm still pushing resistance training here. Now, the FDA says that, as far as protein, again, it should make up like about 15 to 20% of your diet. I'm saying, the way I see it, if you add resistance training as one of your activities, you're definitely going to look for something at 30%, okay? And I'm thinking, there's no study out there to say that 30% is way too high. I mean, I know the FDA is saying, you know, with their pyramid that you can go with, 15 to 20%, but really, there's no study to say that 30 is too high. And if you're a very active person, you probably need even more. Like I said, 50% of your entire body weight, okay, dry body weight, okay, is made up of protein. So, I mean, how are you going to get it? You can't store it all, you know. So now, the thing about protein, just like carbohydrates, if there's more than what you need, it will take that and store it as fat. Yes. So, again, unless you have, too much of anything, too much of carbohydrates and too much of proteins will be stored as fat. That's just the way it works. Just the way it works. Okay. During the time that you're actually exercising, though, your body stops producing. It stops turning over the protein. You know, it stops generating protein for your different tissues, organs, hair, so on and so forth. Now, this can go on for about an hour after you work out. So, during the time, right before you exercise, and during the time you exercise, it's advisable maybe just to have some protein in your system. Right? So, what does that mean? It means that right before you exercise, eat a meal that's got some protein in there. Okay. Now, but because you're going to want the protein in your system while you're working out, you're not really going to want any carbohydrates at that time. Because remember, the carbohydrate is going to turn into sugar, and the sugar is then going to take it and force it out of the bloodstream. Okay. So, if you know that your body does not produce any protein, okay, during the time that you're exercising, what you want to do is you want to eat protein before you work out, all right? Then at that point that you're eating, don't have any carbohydrates because you don't want it pushed out of your bloodstream. So you want something in there that's going to stay inside your bloodstream while you're working out. Okay, well, it's about half past the hour here. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we're going to talk about a little bit more about fats and proteins and their effects on weight loss and exercise. Okay, so give me a minute and we'll be back shortly.
You get to the club, you wanna turn the table off. You wanna turn the table off. You wanna turn the table off. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. See the boys in the club.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I want to finish up again talking about fats and proteins here. Let's just talk about a little bit how digestion works again so we get the whole picture here. So, because last week we talked about carbohydrates. Now I'm adding fats and proteins to the mix. Okay. So, when you eat, your body breaks down during digestion carbohydrates into blood sugar, and then it places the blood sugar into the bloodstream. Okay. Now, it's when you're eating, and you should be eating balanced meals. Now you got fats and proteins in there too. So when your body sees the blood sugar in the bloodstream, it secretes insulin, which pushes the blood sugar along with the fats and proteins into your muscle cells. And if there's more than can fit inside the muscle cells, it puts it over into the fat cells. Okay. So, now, your muscle cells, they basically hold protein, water, sugar, and some muscle salt and some other stuff. Okay. So, once it's pushing the stuff in there, all right, if there's too much to go in there, that then it takes it and it puts everything along the side over into the storage, which are your fat cells. Okay. This whole process, digestion, is fuel. I mean, is the energy comes from fat. Okay, so the fat that's in your diet, as well as stored fat, that's what your body uses in order to process everything through digestion. Okay. Now, again, if you're looking to see how much fat your body needs, you just have to calculate, you know, how many calories you need. And I'm saying right now, if you're just an average person, take your weight, multiply it by 11. And then, as far as fat, you need 20% of that. Because you do need fat when you're building your hormones, okay? That's for sure. Testosterone and estrogen, you do need that, okay? Now, another hormone that we just talked about is insulin, all right? That requires certain proteins. So it requires protein to be broken down in order to make those hormones. So what I'm trying to say here is that, okay, the carbohydrates basically are used in order for your body to trigger the insulin to come along and push the other nutrients that your body needs into the cells, okay, into your various cells. And your body has two types of cells basically everywhere, okay? Muscle cell and fat cell, okay? And the fat cells for storage for anything excess that can't go into the muscle, all right? Now, with that said, again, I'm an advocate for resistance training. You can pick any exercise that you want, but I'm saying if you have a muscle cell, then, you know, why not do a muscle activity? And that's what resistance training is. It requires that you use those muscles. And when you use those muscles, it breaks everything down. And then the protein that you ingest after that comes along to help rebuild that. That's the whole process. Now, the fats actually help fuel the whole process, okay? That's what's used as the energy to fuel the process. Now, a lot of people try to figure out, you know, well, should I go out and go running, or should I, lift weights? Well, you got to look at your situation. Everybody's an individual, so look at your situation. What do you need to do, okay? Now, you do have to have some type of cardiovascular activity, but really, walking is really all you need. Okay. Now, unless, you know, your hobby or your profession is being a marathon runner, I can't really see why you're doing it. I mean, now, I don't want to sound like, I don't want to give the people or the kids that are out there playing sports, you know, go back and tell their coach, say, hey, look, you know, I heard this guy on the radio, and he said, you know, they don't see why I should be running. Well, okay, here's the situation. Unless you're an athlete, you know, that's the only time I can really see you're out there running. In the weeks to come, I'll cite you several examples of what I think, you know, were bad situations. And now that I'm in my 50s, that's what I've been looking at. And I'll give you one quickly here. Years ago, when I stopped playing ball and I was, you know, just got a job and I was working, I wanted to get back working out, and I wanted to do it quick. I thought, well, you know, the quickest way to do it is actually to go out there and just go running for a while, you know, just 2 or 3 miles a day, so on and so forth. And the next thing I know, everybody in my age group, and I was somewhere in my 20s, I guess, and everybody in my age group, they were all doing the same thing. Everybody wanted to go out and they wanted to go running. So they were thinking, you know what, let's get back in shape, let's do this, so on and so forth. And it seemed like the whole country had moved that way. And this guy by the name of Jim Finks wrote a book on this, Running for Your Life. And everybody was now, they're all engaged in running. Everybody, they were running everywhere. Whereas before, you didn't really see this. You know, you may have a couple of joggers here and there, but you knew they were either athletes or they were training for something, but they just weren't doing it recreationally. No. But when this guy wrote this book, everybody was out there. Okay. Then, at that point, when I started to do that, I thought back and said, wait a minute, now you know, when I was playing ball, I was only supposed to run for so long, because if I ran too long, then it was going to actually hurt me as far as muscle-wise. Because in order to run, you know, at a certain pace, and really, any pace, if you're moving, walking, or running at a pace faster than you can have a conversation, you're no longer burning fat. You're burning muscle sugar. Yes. The sugar, the glucose that was in your bloodstream that got pushed into your cells, that's what you're burning. Now, eventually, if you run long enough, you'll burn up all the sugar that's in your bloodstream, and then your body will then have to go and it'll have to get the fat in order to do it. Yes, and then you'll lose weight, but you're going to lose muscle. So you're going to be smaller than what you were before. Okay. Now, excuse me. There's two ways of looking at this, okay? Like I said, I mean, you got to figure out what, I mean, you know, if let's say if you're 80 years old, okay, and you want to lose weight, do you think the easiest way to do that is to go out there and run? I don't know. You know, there's a, you know, between the knees, the joints, the back, the hips, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen if you do that. So, again, I'm going to push for resistance training, okay? Because you can start with less than your body weight, okay, to do resistance training, and your body will start to adapt, okay? And while it's doing that, in order to adapt and to build muscle, it's got to go and use stored fat in order to do it, okay? So, I know it sounds like the tortoise and the hare, but that's really what the case is. The faster you go, okay, the worse it is for you. If you want to lose weight, you have to go slow. And not to mention, the fact is, once your body sees changes too quickly, all right, it stops. It says, wait, I'm not doing anything here. I don't know what's going on. You know, if all of a sudden you go on a diet, and you want to, and you cut back all the calories and just stop and don't eat anything, your body's like, oh, okay. Well, eventually, yeah, it's going to have to find fuel, and it's going to find fat. Yes, it will. But first, it's going to use up all the sugar that it possibly can. Okay? So you have to remember, everything's got to be slow. That's what I'm saying. So if you're going to start losing weight, drop your calories only by 15% first. Okay? And then once you get down a little bit, a couple pounds, after you lose a couple pounds, then drop it by another 15%. Okay? But never, okay, never just stop eating completely, because the only way you can lose is to eat, because as you eat, you're burning fat. That's it. So now all you have to do is just change the macronutrients, the percentage for the macronutrients that you're eating. So, in this case, again, make sure that it's, 50% carbohydrates, 30% protein, and 20% fat. You're going to still need 20% fat, yes. Because you got to build all these hormones and everything else. Not to mention, when your body sees fat come into the bloodstream, the first thing it does is, wait a minute. Ooh, we got fat coming in. The receptors on your muscle cells open up like flowers. Okay? With no fat, there's a chance that those receptors don't open up. And you're saying, okay, so what? Why do I care? Well, if the receptors don't open up, guess where those nutrients that you were trying to shuttle into your muscle is going to go? Yeah, that's it. It's going to run up right over into the fat, because it's like, oh, okay, wait a minute. Nothing I can do with this. I can't get in the muscle cell, so I got to push it over here. Exactly. So you have to have some fat in your diet. Now, protein, that's the mother of all nutrients. In fact, every time you have a meal, that's the first thing you should think about. What protein am I going to eat? That's what you should be thinking about, really, seriously. No matter what activity it is, if you're going to sit down and just watch television, you have to say to yourself, what protein do I need? Or how much protein do I need? Because really, that is what's going to allow you to do the work. That's how your body works. That's how your brain functions. Your brain needs protein in order to do any of the processes. Everything requires protein. So that's the first thing. You say, how much protein do I need? Generally, that's right around 30%. Not like the FDA pyramid, where it says 15 to 20. I mean, because that's like saying, well, you may have a drumstick or something, okay? Well, no, you actually need to sit down and figure out how much protein you actually need, okay? And then what do you need the protein for? Now, there are different sources. And when I'm saying protein, I'm thinking lean sources, okay? Lean cuts of meat. All right. If you're going to eat eggs, now eggs, one egg, a regular large egg is about 80 calories. Okay. It's got about 3 grams of protein, right? And it's got about 6 grams of fat. Okay. Well, really, if all you want to do is to just have protein and no fat, and you want to eat the eggs, yes, that's right. That's what I'm suggesting. Get rid of the yolk. The yolk in the egg is where the fat is. The egg white is all protein. There's nothing in there but just protein. And it's, but as far as the egg, there's no carbohydrates either, though. Okay? But so now, if you just want protein, and protein that your body can use, and you're going to get it from an egg, just have the egg white. Now, you still need the yolk for different things, but the yolk is where the fat and the cholesterol is, okay? So I would go with the yolk very sparingly, like, treat it like it was cake, okay? Same thing for milk. I mean, if you're one of those people that, you know, that likes milk, you know, start switching over to the 2% or the no fat milk, you know, really. Because now you got, with milk, you got all protein and a little milk sugar probably, so you got just a little bit of carbs, okay, or carbohydrates. But those are very excellent sources of protein, okay? Again, it's not going to be tough to figure out, you know, that ratio of 50, 30, 20. Just look at the pyramid, figure out the sources, figure out, you know, what your body weight is, okay? So, again, if you're 100 pounds, multiply it by 11, okay, that means you need 1,100 calories, and so 50% of that is somewhere like around, you know, 550 calories are all going to go to carbohydrates. Now, with the carbohydrates, that means rice, bread, pasta, spaghetti, vegetables, fruits, you know, all those are in your all those are primarily carbohydrate foods, okay? And that's what you're going to use in order to give you that 50% mix for your balanced meal. When you look at, you know, what you need to eat. Then you're going to go to your proteins, 30%, okay? And here you're going to look at lean cuts of meat. And when I say lean, I mean maybe like a piece of beef or chicken. Let's just start with beef, okay? Beef, you want probably about 80 or 85%, okay? Where the meat has 80 or 85% meat and the rest of it is fat, okay? So, you know, it's got to be primarily a lean cut. Same thing with your pork, okay? If you're going to eat pork, make sure it's about 85 to 90% protein, that there's, you know, there's little marbleized fat around it, okay? Now, that takes care of, you know, basically your red meats, okay? Now, as far as chicken, though, here you want to actually look at the part of the chicken, okay? The chicken breast has the most protein, most lean protein, without any fat. Now, I know people say, well, you know, I'm not really crazy about, you know, eating a breast, you know? But a chicken breast has the most protein, okay, and the least amount of fat than any other part of the chicken. So that's what you want to look for. Yeah, you can have the other pieces, but I'm going to tell you, there's fat in there. So you're thinking you're going to eat some protein. No, you're really getting a lot of fat there. So, you know, spend your money wisely. Turkey, same thing. Turkey breast. The breast of the turkey has the most protein and least amount of fat. Okay? So that's the easiest thing to do, is to go and get that. Well, we're running a little long here. I'm sorry. Let me speed this up a little bit. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about a couple of supplements here. Okay. Fish oil tablet capsules and CLA. Those are basically fat capsules and tablets. Okay. But what they do is they aid your body in burning its fat. So if you take that, it helps your body to say, oh, you know what, you're introducing fat into me, so now I'll have to metabolize this, but in order to metabolize this, I'm going to burn more of my own fat. So if you're looking to lose weight, it's not a silver bullet, and there is no silver bullet out there, but I'm saying these are some of the supplements that you can take, and as long as you take them in the quantity that you need, that 20%, okay, and don't go overboard, it's really going to help you. So if you cut back on some of your fat and then supplement these supplements, you know, fish tablets or either CLA or both, okay, I'll talk more about that in the upcoming weeks, but if you take that, it's going to actually introduce your body into burning fat, and that's really what you want. Lastly, those are the fat supplements, protein. It's going to be tough to eat all of the protein that you actually need, okay? So, really, one of the easiest things out there now is to just go out and get you some whey protein powder, okay? And I'm going to tell you, the taste now, you would not believe. I mean, they've got several brands out there now. This is way better than back when, you know, when I was coming along, they just had Bob Hoffman, you know, out there promoting it. This is really good stuff. So, in fact, you know, if you're listening to this, send me an email. I'll tell you exactly the brands that I recommend. Okay. But that's all I got for now. I'm glad to share this time with you, and we'll be back next week and talk to you then. Thank you.